This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Will Manso, sports director at Local 10 here in Miami. Of course, you see him on the Heat broadcast, FanDuel Sports Network Sun, Heater in New Orleans. Tonight, it is the penultimate game of this wild and woolly season. We were talking at the beginning of the show today, Will, about what Eric Spoelstra has come out and said today, which is that he's going to treat the next two games like regular games that they want to win. Starters are going to start and players are going to play. There's going to be no resting people and getting them ready for the play-in. So what do you think about that approach?
I mean, I think at this point, what do they have to lose? I mean, they're basically locked into the 10 seed. And sure, there's possibilities they can get out of it. But I think the only thing the Heat can control now, which, you know, obviously injuries, the Jimmy situation, all the things that happened this season that made it such a wild year, they couldn't control. But the only thing they can control now is trying to play their best basketball into the play-in, you know, and the only way I think to do that is to get everybody back in the rotation, get, you know, Andrew Wiggins just came back, Bam came back after one game absence, you know, get everybody kind of locked and loaded and see what happens, because they're either going to go into the play-in, you know, that falls short, and we're going to all figure out in the offseason what the heck went wrong and how do they need to fix it. But with two games left, I mean, what do you got to lose at this point? Play your guys, try to go in with some momentum and see if you can make some noise.
Well, one of the things that we were talking about was if they are to go through, let's say they get to the first round, Boston or Cleveland, do you give them a puncher's chance in beating either of those teams, or at least making it? I was saying to Crowder and Solana, like, I think they could take Cleveland to seven games, and you get to a seventh game, who knows what's going to happen.
I mean, I'd love to think like you, and I want to believe that given the Heat's history, and I think they can get the benefit of the doubt, especially the core of Bam and Tyler, the veterans on this team, Eric Spoelstra coach team. You just never know. But, you know, you and I talked about it. We all talked about it maybe a couple weeks ago. The reality is the body of work of this team doesn't show that, right? It doesn't show that you could sit there and confidently say, hey, this is like the Heat team of the last couple of years. Like, you don't want to see this team. You don't want to see this team. I don't know if Cleveland and Boston right now, given the Heat situation, is saying that. You know, could the Heat give you a challenge? Yeah, sure. You probably don't want to have an Eric Spoelstra-led team and the way they prepare, the way they play in a seven-game series. But the Heat beating one of those teams four times, even three times, it seems unlikely given the way the season has gone.
And well, with that, like with the culture thing, we did play the drop earlier in the show. With that culture thing, like the strategy of it and all that stuff, like when you set up your team around being the culture, the toughest condition, the toughest team and all that Riley says, you have to continue to play that way. You have to continue to do that 365 days of the year, right?
Yeah, you can't. And that's the thing. It's a good point, Shannon. You can't preach it and then say, hey, we're going to take the foot off the pedal and see what happens in the playing game. And, you know, you just have to stay with that. That is the beauty of being the whole Heat culture and the way they do things is when they play well, which is the majority of their history, they're a contender. It's great. When they don't, it's kind of like, well, what happened? Where's the culture? What's going on? And people use that as kind of a thing to point at. But the reality is they're never going to stop playing. Like Eric Spoelstra, like we ask him the questions and we all know the answers. Like Spo is never going to concede. You guys remember the preseason? I forgot who asked him a question about, hey, you know, you guys really don't seem like the team to beat compared to the Boston and maybe even New York. And he's like, I'm not conceding anything, you know, and that's just the way he is and the way they are.
Will the Heat bypass an opportunity to save some money by waiving Davion Mitchell? I think it's a perfect fit. I've been really trying to champion keeping Davion Mitchell and keeping him here next year as well since they signed him. I just think he's a Heat culture type of guy. He's a Spo kind of player. I guess you're not surprised to see that, you know, they didn't waive him and that there's a report from Barry Jackson that seems like both sides are looking towards the future as well.
I think this is the classic case of a perfect fit. Like the things that Davion is missing, the structure to keep him focused on exactly what he needs to do every single minute he's on the court is perfect with the Heat, because Davion, as good as he is defensively, as good as he's been, and my God, he's been shooting lights out and playing well offensively too, there are parts of his game that I think need this culture, need that constant reminder that you could never let up for 1 second. So to me, I've said it weeks ago as well, and I'm with you, Solana. I think they need to find a way to re-sign him. He needs to be a priority. But I will say this. In the chase of getting a big player, everybody's kind of expendable outside of Bam and Tyler likely. So I can't say for certainty that, hey, they're going to bring him back. He's part of the future, because I think they're going to look for ways to do something big and try to improve this team to get to the next level. But in a perfect world, Davion Mitchell should stay in the Heat uniform next season. He's been phenomenal since he got here.
Let me go back to Wednesday night for 1 second. We've talked to a couple people about it. What was your take on Tyler Hero? You know, they're down five. He steals the ball from Kobe White. Could have a breakaway layup, cut the game to one possession, decides to fire off a three, and it ends up turning into an eight-point lead for the Bulls with 30 seconds left. What was your take on that?
I mean, look, shooters are going to shoot, right? And Tyler talked about he's going to live and die like that. And I think we've gotten used, like people who watch Heat games, and all of us do, and you know, regularly, you see that Tyler has that mentality, man. He's going to shoot. Sometimes he gets, you know, on a fast break and he stops and he shoots a three. And sometimes he makes them and we're jumping up and down. Sometimes he misses and we're scratching our heads going, man, why didn't you drive? In this case, because of the situation, he obviously made the wrong decision. And I think Eric Spoelstra touched on it, you know, in postgame. I think he did it in a classy way where he wasn't going to throw Tyler under the bus, but he basically said, I have to coach him better in those situations. And it's true, because shooter's going to shoot. You know, you got to go for the kill shot. But I think Spo was quoted as saying that wasn't a kill shot opportunity when you're down five. A kill shot is, hey, you're up two, you're going on a fast break. Maybe you hit a three, now you're up five. Not the reverse where you're down, you know, trying to get into a one possession game. It wasn't the right play. I can't fault Tyler for being Tyler, though. I mean, that's just the way he is. Hopefully it's something that if it ever comes to that situation again, he'll think it through a little better. But Tyler taking wide open threes isn't something I'm going to sleep for, because the guy's been a phenomenal all-star player majority of the season. He deserves to get that opportunity.
And, Will, shooter's going to shoot. You, Hawk, myself, we're all married, and then Solana's engaged. So shooter's shooting, we figure out a way to do it. But with this playoff run and with the play-in and all that, what has to happen, to Hawk's point, to really be able to get into the playoffs, to even get to play Cleveland, play Boston, one of those things? Yeah. Tyler is going to play well. Bam's going to be Bam. Bam's going to go 20-10. Tyler's going to do his thing. What else has to happen for us to make that Cinderella run that Heat fans love?
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, they got to limit turnovers. They got to play, you know, they got to play their defense. I don't think they can ugly down games too much these days. It's just so much offense in the league. Even the play-in teams, you look at the Chicago's and Atlanta's, I mean, they could throw up 130, 140 points. Like, you would think the bottom of the East, you know, bottom of a conference is going to be the weaker teams, yet those teams can score. So, Channing, they got to play defense, but they also have to score. They got to limit the basics of basketball, and they give themselves a chance. A lot in the last week. Like, do you think that he have a chance? Well, of course they have a chance. I'm talking about at the play-in. All these teams are 7-10 for a reason. They all have holes. They all have inconsistencies. They all have dealt with injuries or whatever it may be. None of these teams are perfect. So this isn't like, okay, if they got to play at Cleveland or Boston, where it's clear who has the advantage. In this case, it's a toss-up, and there's no reason that, again, an Eric Spoelstra coach team, two old players in Bam and Tyler, can't have good, balanced games as a team in games to the playoffs. I think that's certainly possible. After that, I
feel like we're losing Will here. Where are you, Will? You're in the tunnel?
No, I'm actually, you know what this area does? I'm like in North Miami area. This area gets a little, reception gets a little wild. But I,
a little
what I
dicey.
Said was really, what I said was really intelligent and articulate, if you missed it.
We'll just take your word for it.
Will, but as it pertains to Chicago, because after the game, all the questions were, hey, what do you have to do? It seems likely the Heat are going to play Chicago in that 9-10 matchup, maybe Atlanta. But Chicago, they've lost 2-3 times this year. Oh, we know their pace. We have to slow them down. They're the second best pace. We have to keep them from. The reality is that's what the Bulls do. Will, I think the difference between the Heat being able to beat Chicago on the road, beating the Atlanta Hawks on the road, it's going to come down to Duncan Robinson, Alec Burks, Davion Mitchell. Yeah. It's those guys knocking in threes. That's it. Period. Like that to me is the complete difference, because you're right, limit turnovers or whatever, but the Bulls are going to do what they do. They're going to play fast. They're going to get into the painted area. Like, the 119 points isn't that many points for the Bulls. The Heat just need their guys to hit threes. I think it's that simple.
I mean, look, when it comes to the Heat success, and that's been a few years now, they live and die by the three. So, you know, them making – sure, could you think that in two games in a row they could have 16 to 20 threes? Because I think that's what it would take. If they get in that 16, 18 threes in the game made, I'm talking about on, 50 attempts, 45 attempts at a close to 40% clip – then I think absolutely you're right, because it does, again, it takes offense. You can't beat those teams in the mud. And I know Spo loves saying that, but the chances of you going into Chicago in a playing game and winning 96-94, are just very slim. I mean, to your point, they're going to run. They're going to get to their things. The reason I say turnovers is because, unfortunately, the Bulls love to run. And a big part of that is off turnovers, off loose balls, off rebounds. If you can limit that, at least you take a few possessions away. But, yeah, look, the Heat aren't going to get anywhere if they don't shoot the ball well and score a lot of points, because that's just the way the NBA is now.
And Will, somebody asked Solana the other day too, like, because he was talking about the Bulls' pace after they beat them and all that stuff. Why can't the Heat run? We're not that big of a team. We don't have lumbering bigs. We have damn Khalil Ware and Bam. Like, why can't we run Pigeon. And have a pace like that?
Pigeons are fleet of foot.
He's a hell of a – listen, that's a talented pigeon, I'll tell you that much. No, the reality is, I think you go back to preseason, and training camp. I think Spo wanted to. I think that was the plan, right? To be a little more electric on offense. And I think, and I'm not going to blame Jimmy for everything. Trust me, this isn't. But I do think Jimmy and everything just derailed the season a bit, where they never got whatever it is that they were trying to do going. And maybe, by the way, Spo sits down in the offseason and looks and says, you know what? This whole new offense I kind of tinkered with and sort of created and tried to put together for this roster, I didn't do a good job. Maybe Spo looks and says, I didn't do a good enough job. The things I thought we were going to do and play with pace and run and kind of get up and down while not losing our mentality and identity of defense didn't work. And that's something that, as a coach, you look in the mirror and you watch the film and you say, I could do better. I think that'll be part of Spo's process in the offseason. But to answer your question, Channing, I don't know, because we haven't really seen it this season while we see other teams do it. And it's part of the frustration of wanting the Heat to get to that next level again is kind of catching up to the style of the NBA, where teams run, teams score. It's the only way to win now. The games in the mud are very hard to win consistently.